So you date the Torah, Rabbi Ishmael Halpin.
Good morning. Tonight is the Yutzat of Rav Agun Ramey Shapiro Zeich Tzadik Levruche. Zayin Cheshvan Tufresh Tzadi Dalet Ramey Shapiro was Nifta. Ramey Shapiro is famous for starting off the idea of Dafa Yoimi, a worldwide learning program which probably can say hundreds of thousands of Yidden on Mishtatif. And the Seder Limit from Dafa Yoimi was a schiss through the founder of Dafa Yoimi of Ramey Shapiro. The Chuvah were coming, everybody knows how big Simcha is coming up during the winter. They come to the Siyum HaShas, and you can feel the excitement in the air, the non-stop advertising, different Siyumim in this town, in this country, this organization, that organization. People learn to be Shiurim, be Chavrisas, people learn by themselves. Here in this room, there's a Shia every day. It's appropriate to talk about Ramey Shapiro. It's something of a Simchas HaTorah and a Kuvod HaTorah which is unparalleled in anything else which we have nowadays in Yiddishkeit. It's probably the biggest, it's the biggest mamud of Kuvod HaTorah which exists with the Reini, and it's very likely it's been the biggest mamud which has exist. Can't say ever, but as long as we know, go back in history, as long as we know, especially through the Gulas Yurin, it's probably the biggest mamud of Kiddush Hashem and Kuvod HaTorah which there is. Even people who don't learn Dafa Yoimi but become involved. For Shteitz, when it comes to the sea and people come involved. As my brother macht Chasna, soll ich mich nicht mitfreien. My brother's making a Chasna, I shouldn't come to join him. So say the Lomdim, say the wives of the Lomdim, the Mishpuchas of the Lomdim, and the friends of the Lomdim. In all, in essence, a large chunk of Klal Yisrael are going to be having a Simchas HaTorah during the winter. So the Chuvah Deim, we're talking to Zugna, who said, Fjord by Ramey Shapiro, of who he was and what we can learn out a little bit from his lifetime. Chazal tell us, Musa magia masa el masa avoisai. A person always has to say to himself, when will his masim reach the masim of his uvas, of its predecessors? And the shteitz in the chnsfurim, that person can reach his predecessors, we can reach the madregas of our forefathers. But masa nagia is a lushan nagia, a lushan of touching. We should have some type of a touch, some type of a little connection which we can learn out from their ways. In their smuda, in their midas, in their chesed, in their shkufa, something which we can take with us, something which we can try and learn from. The Chofetz Chaim, when it came out the idea of Dafa Yoimi, Ramey Shapiro announced it in the Knesia Gedoyla. And the Chofetz Chaim was so nisragish, the Chofetz Chaim said, till now, every Masechta in Shas has a benkler in Olam Haba. Every Masechta in Shas has a seat in Olam Haba. Until now, many of the seats were empty. Who learned the Masechtas in Kodshim, difficult Masechtas, and other Masechtas which are very difficult to learn? And now, because it's set away a Seder, every Masechta is going to have lots and lots of people sitting on their seats. All of a sudden, those seats in Olam Haba are going to become full. We had now as Chis, Befrat, we learned about the Beis Hamikdash and Kodshim, the things which we don't learn, which we wouldn't have learned otherwise. And especially now, the Eibishter gave us this Chis, that the last few Chedushim is probably the months. It's probably those Masechtas which are the ones we wouldn't have learned. Tumid and Midas and Kinim and Meila, and we spoke about the Beis Hamikdash the whole time during Sikkus. We were going through Sikkus and every day we were saying Misav and we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us back to the Beis Hamikdash. We want to be Makir the Karban Misav. It was a whole different reality when at the same time Klal Yisrael were learning those dafim which explained to us how the Beis Hamikdash looked, how the Karban Tumid worked, how many Kohanim they needed, where they were Shomrim. Everything became more real when Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us this chis that together with carbon mitzvah from carbon sikkah, from sikkah, from every day we had this chis to be able to learn tumid and midas. The Welt zogt as Ramey Shapiro had two children. He wasn't zoche to any biological children. He wasn't zoche to any zera shakayuma. I'm not sure how many people realize that, but Ramey Shapiro, l'choira, he should have been this depressed, upset person. He suffered terribly. He got married when he was 19, and he went through a very difficult life. He wasn't zoicha to zeir shal kayuma, and it's a tremendous, tremendous gezeir. Chazal tell us, Misha ein lebunim nechshev kemeis, and he could have been a depressed person, and instead he was a udam mule simcha. He was always Mule Simcha. Wherever he went, he lit up the atmosphere. Wherever he went, he brought excitement. He brought life. He invigorated everybody. It was when he walked into a room and he walked into a place, it was a complete different matzav. Which is very interesting. He was 19. He was a gun oilam when he got married. He was 19. And the Shtetl Harim started sending in requests he should become a Ruv. A 19-year-old Inga Manchukul. And he didn't want. He wanted to sit and learn. And the Shva and Shviga wanted him to take on one of the Rabunasim that they kept on getting sent in. And he was a Chusid Nila from the Rabbi Srul Chodkeva, Zeche Tzadim Kudosh Levrucha. He said once, "Meyoyim she'omdi al dati, I didn't pick up a hand or a foot ben yune klal or ben yune prat without asking my Rebbe what to do." And he came, all these requests kept on coming in, and his Shva and Shviga went to the Rabbi Srul Chodkeva and said, "The Aydim doesn't want to take on a Rabunas, he doesn't want to become a Ruv anywhere." So Ramesh Shapira asked him, why, the Rebbe asked Ramesh Shapira, "Why don't you want to become a Ruv?" He said, "What's failed the most? What does he need it for? He wants to sit and learn." He said, "If that's taka, you don't need it, then you have to become a Ruv." And the Rebbe, so the Ramesh Shapira said, "Epsa that comment, what, Epsa Lemberg is waiting for me?" Lemberg was like one of the biggest towns in Klal Yisrael. "Lemberg is waiting for me?" So the Rebbe said, "Lemberg? Okay, a town next to Lemberg." And a few days later came a Mishlachas, one in the town next to Lemberg, I don't remember the name. And they offered him to become the Ruv over there, and he saw clearly how the Rebbe's vet is in the sky, so he was Mekabel, the Rabunas, and from the young age of 24, he became a Ruv. Also not so well known is Ramesh Shapira didn't live very long. He was Nifta when he was 47 years old. A person who wasn't zeichet to have any children, and he was Nifta young. It has all the ingredients for somebody to go around with a long nose, not to be simchadik. And Be'emet, we read in the Haftarah, in the Tanis Sibbe, there's a Moridik of Psikim there, which we say in the Psikim, in the Tanis Sibbe. Everybody in the world naturally wants to have children, and the Zachi should have a Hemshech. People should remember about him. He shouldn't be just a fleeting something which came and went. But he left some Roshim on this world. It keeps on going. It's Gevaldig a Pusik, just say the Rushna Pusik. Somebody who's not zeichet to kinder shouldn't say, "I'm a ausgetrocknet to tree. I'm a dried out tree." Hashem says to the people who don't have kinderlech, if they'll keep my shabusim, and they'll choose the things which I choose, and they'll be machzik, they'll hold themselves strong in my bris. I'll give them in my houses and in my walls. Yad v'shem, toiv mi bunim ebunis, a name better than children, better than sons and better than daughters. What type of a name? Shem oilam etin loy asher lo yikures. I'll give him a name which you can never get cut off. Just standing here right now is Falt Mechan, as Ramesh Shapira Taka wasn't zoichet to biological children. But Nebuch, so many people who were zoichet not due to biological children, weren't zoichet, they were taki yikuris. There was no hemshech. There was nothing from them anymore. We don't know about them. So many families were wiped out completely without any successors, without any descendants at all. But the Pusuk says, Shem oilam etin loy lo yikuris. I'll give him a name which is lo yikuris, which can't get cut off. The example, Ramesh Shapiro's name is something which he taki didn't even have children, but his name doesn't get cut off. It goes forever and forever and forever. And Adrabba, as the years go by, it becomes more of a zach, more famous, because even more people are being started to dafi yoimi. By the Nixia Gedoyla, when Ramesh Shapiro, the Nixia Gedoyla used to be that there was a whole meeting of the Gedoyla Yisrael came together, or with Chofetz Chaim, Pesul Chaltkever, the Emir Emes, with the other Groyser Rebbes and great Rabunim, used to come together. It was a big Oibanun, there was a big stage. And then the Hamoin Am, Klal Yisrael used to fill up the hall. And then there was like a convention, which you call today an Aguda convention. That was the beginning of the Aguda convention. It was from Agidus Yisrael, and they were the ones who set out the Sinfsi Gedoyla. But the night before they got together, and publicly, there was a private meeting between the Gedoylim. They discussed what they're going to say tomorrow and what's going to be put onto the agenda. And the night before the Nixia Gedoyla, Ramesh Shapira was then a younger man of approximately 35. He was already Yotzer Shem L'Tehillah. Klal Yisrael knew about him. He was a phenomenal speaker. He was full of emotion. He was a booking nifla in Gemura, in Halucha, in Torah Kedosha, in Kol Torah Kedosha. He had a Moedigan name. The Chofetz Chaim was over 80 years old. And Rabbi Shapira announced his plan that he would like very much that we should start learning daf a day, daf a yoimi. And it was, Chofetz Chaim took on and said, wow, what an idea. And that's when he said his vart, I think that's when he said his vart about all the kids, the benklich and shemayim being filled. And the Chofetz Chaim asked Rabbi Shapira, tomorrow when you come into the hall, come a few minutes late. I ask you to come a few minutes late into the hall. So the next day, the Rabbi Shapira walked into the hall a few minutes late. All the other gedolim were already sitting there. And as he walked in, the Chofetz Chaim stood up, Malaika Musay. Can you imagine what an impression that made on Klal Yisrael who were over there? Chofetz Chaim was over double Rabbi Shapira's age. He was the Zkana Doiv. He was the tzaddik of the generation. And he stood up for Rabbi Shapira, Malaika Musay. And then when Rabbi Shapira gave his announcement, his idea that everyone should start learning Daf Yomi, it made a tremendous impression. It was an El, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Knesset Gedolah was an El. And Rabbi Shapira's idea was that Aleph Tishri, we should start learning Daf Yomi. In the Ge'er, the Emes was at the convention, had the Knesset Gedolah, and Leil Rosh Hashanah, after davening, everyone goes by the Rebbe, it's a Vinch Lashonah Toiva. It came past to say Lashonah Toiva, everybody wants to say Lashonah Toiva, the Rebbe doesn't come out of his room. What is? All of a sudden the word went around, the Rebbe's not coming out, he's busy learning Daf Beis. Bruchas Daf Beis, the Rebbe started to learn the Daf. When he finishes learning the first Daf, he'll come out to say Lashon HaToyva. You can understand within 2 minutes wasn't a Gemura Bruchas to be found in the Ger Beis Medrash. But that was one of the ways that the Gedolei Yisrael took on this idea from Meir Shapira and instilled it into the Hamoy Naam. But the idea has only grown and grown and grown to the phenomenal rate that we see today is something which is unbelievable. Zichen Shkender HaToyva. But the world said, the Welt Zucht, and maybe Rabbi Shapira said it himself, that he has two, didn't have real children, but he had two children. The Daf Yoimi and Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin we know about less. It's more of a Roshan today, the Daf Yoimi. Because we don't have Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, and Daf Yoimi Baruch Hashem is growing. I think the reality, the main thing which Rabbi Shapira was known for then, wasn't the Daf Yoimi. Daf Yoimi was a nice idea, so people learned it together, wherever they were. Ramesh Shapiro printed on his letterhead, because he copies Ramesh Shapiro's letterhead, it says Ramesh Shapiro, and he has like a printed line at the top for the date, which you have very often. So it says the date, Tarich, and it's got Shnas with line, with a line for, you know, to fill in the year. Then it says Masechta with a line to fill in the year, and then it says Daf with a line to fill in the Daf. His letterhead, his dated, was always dated the date of the year with what Masechta it was today, which what Daf Yomi it was today. But Bashatoi, his famous for was Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. Maybe to bring out a little bit, to try and bring out a little bit what Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin was. Yeshivas and Bnei Yeshivas at that time, between the two world wars, was something which very few people were proud to be. To be a Yeshiva Bucher meant you were a Nebuch, you weren't Mutzlach, you couldn't get yourself a job, you weren't interested in Olam Hazeh, you didn't know how to succeed. You're one of those Nebuchs who walked around and you went to Yeshiva. And then you had to find somewhere to eat. So you went Betoiva, you had to go and schnorr on to different people in town. Can I eat with you Monday lunch and Tuesday lunch and Wednesday lunch? Now how often did it happen that the Bukhrin couldn't find every day somewhere to eat? And they ended up going hungry a day. And they had nowhere to sleep. They were busy looking for where to eat, where to sleep. They were learnt, they weren't, to say it in a kind way, they weren't looked up to. And it bothered Rav Meir Shapira tremendously. This is Kuvud HaTorah. This is the Kuvud of a Yeshiva Bucher. This is the Kuvud of the Eibishter's Torah. This is the Kuvud of Geheim Chayeini V'Oir Chumeini. This is Mesik Medvash V'Noifes Sifim. This is the Torah Kedosha, which Ilmulei Brisi Shmai V'Uris L'Nosati. This is what keeps us all going. If not for the Torah Kedosha, we wouldn't be here. This is the Kuvud HaTorah. Rav Meir Shapira walked around. This bothered him tremendously, and it bothered him tremendously. And came up with his grand idea. It's going to open up a 5-star hotel, which is going to be a yeshiva. It's going to build a specifically designed building. It's going to have inside a base of medrash. It's going to have inside tens and tens of bedrooms. It's going to have inside a dining room. It's going to be, every table is going to have a white tablecloth with cutlery on it. It's going to have a dentist inside the building. It's going to have a doctor inside the building. It's going to have a laundrette inside the building. It's going to have a private garden the Bukhrin can walk around with, shouldn't get disturbed. That was his dream. And he took his dream and he announced he's going to do it. And he went and he found a place. It was in the middle of Lublin. It was a very big sheitach. And there was a yid called Reb Shmuel Eichenbaum. And this Reb Shmuel Eichenbaum was met with Meir Shapir and told him, I have a big piece of land in the middle of Lublin, not sure what to do with it. Meir Shapir said, I'm going to offer you the deal of a lifetime. I've got a deal of a lifetime. You give me that piece of land and I'm going to build the yeshiva in the world. And he was masking. Mr. Shmuel Eichenbaum was zoicha to give the piece of land in the middle of Lublin. It was a prime real estate. Imagine, right in the middle of town, a prime real estate building, which was still there, Ad Hayom. You see it? And then that he was zoicha to give. Then Ramesh Spear made Anuchas Evan Apina, and it became an excitement. The whole of Poland was talking about it. It became exciting. What's this all for? Kuvad HaTorah. Ah, we're going to make a yeshiva. All of a sudden, people started looking up. Bukhram was something else. I had to learn Torah, something chushev. Look at this gigantic building project which is going to happen. All for what? For the Torah HaKadosh, that Bukhram should have where to learn. Bukhram should be able to come and go. And then Ramesh Shapira, after the fuss died down, he was left with the hard work, as it happens very often. All it's exciting, but then you got to get down to the nitty and gritty. And he went down and tried to raise some money. And Ramesh Shapiro had a tremendous koyach adibur, and he didn't sit still, and he went around Poland, and he went, and he came, and he went, and he came. And after 2 years' time, he managed to raise together a third of the amount of money he needed. It was a tremendous amount of money, but the hole which he had was a lot bigger. And he was at a loss. What's he going to do? And he kept on going. He can't stop. He wanted to give up. And he said he can't give up, because it's going to be a tremendous chilul Hashem. He made such a big thing out of it, that's going to build such a yeshiva. He can't stop. But maybe he took on a project which was too big, and he kept on pushing himself. He started traveling around the world. He came to visit Manchester. He went everywhere. He went to every place to try and make money for yeshiva. He went to America for, I think it was a year and a half. He went in Gullis to try and raise money for yeshiva. It's a very cute story. He was a phenomenal speaker, and he was very, very witty. And he gave once, he was in America, and he gave a long drusha, a whole pilpil, a tifa pilpil he gave. And after the Shia, there was a little yingle over there, a little boy in the crowd. After the Shia, went up to Ramesh Shapira and told him, thank you so much for the drusha. So Ramesh Shapira was taken aback a little bit, said, yingle, what did you understand from my drusha? He said, I understood everything. I understood that the Rebbe has a yeshiva, and he needs money, and he's asking everybody to help him, to give them money to build the yeshiva. So Ramesh Shapira, Chav Moira, I'm scared, you're the only one who understood. He was a very witty person, and he was a tremendous, tremendous pikkich. So as he carried on, after a lot of hard work, and he slogged it through, and he was zoich in the end, after 6 years, Ramesh Shapira managed to build a magnificent, magnificent building. It's still there. The building is still there. I've been inside, it was zoich to daven, I think it was a mincha inside, where the Beis Medrash used to be, and I'm sure everybody's seen pictures of it. A beautiful, beautiful building with a private garden, with a beautiful terrace at the front. That's where the Gedolei Yisrael stood by the Chanik Zabayis, Rabbi Sul Chaltkeva, with the Emir Emes, with Ramosh Nubiana, with Nochasach Gedolim. They all stood there on that terrace and they greeted Klal Yisrael, who were all outside in the garden in the front. It was a magnificent building. It was a huge, beautiful building. And when it came to the Chanik Zabayis, the Rebbe Shapiro went around inviting Klal Yisrael. He wanted everyone to be there. He wanted it to be the Kuvad HaTorah event. He went to all the Rebbes to invite them. The Chanik Zabayis was in Chuf Ches Sivan, Tuf Reish Tzadi. That is in 1930, I'm sorry. Yeah, Chuf Ches Sivan was just 3 weeks after Shviyas in 1930, as the Rebbe Shapiro had the Chanik Zabayis. And he went around to invite the Rebbes. And he came to the Imre Emes. And he came to the Imre Emes in Chuf Ches Nissen, 2 months to the day before the Chanik Zabayis. He came again and he invited the Imre Emes to come to the Chanik Zabayis. So Imre Emes was extremely excited, the Ger Rebbe. Avada, he wants to come. But he asked him, Lublin Aruv, he was a Ruv in Lublin. Lublin Aruv, is it not a bit early to come and invite 2 whole months before the event? You came specially to invite me, it's a long time. So Meir Shapira answered with the Ganter Pashtus. He said, I'm on the way to Vienna to visit my Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Chaltkeva, and I'm going to invite him to come to the Chanik Zabayis. And my Rebbe always needs 30 days hachuna before he can do a mitzvah. Before he can do a mitzvah, he always needs 30 days to prepare himself. It's amazing how the Gedolim always need the time to prepare themselves to do the mitzvahs. But he needs 30 days to prepare himself to do a mitzvah. So the Ger Rebbe told him straight back, Lebelin Aruv, what does your Rebbe do when he gets invited to a bris? Doesn't have 30 days. Rav Shapiro got zekocht. Rav Shapiro got fired up. He said, I believe by a minish lema, 40 days before a child is born, there's a baskel yoytze b'shemayim, and it says who is going to be born, a boy or a girl. Baskel yoytze, bas ployni leployni. I believe by a minish lema, as my Rebbe hears that baskel. It wasn't a vettel from Epsayinga Manchikul who said something. This was a gudel. It was a gudel b'Yisrael who was in Matuver, push it at ma'oid, as his Rebbe hears every baskel shiyoytze b'shemayim. Meir Shapiro was no fool. But he's a minas sadikim, and if he understood that, and obviously he understood more than we understand, and he realized that the emes, a minas sadikim, is something that if a rabbi, a malach Hashem tzvuka, is taka, believes, and he hears, and he knows that his rabbi hears everything, and he taka meka achuna. I have to go and invite him 30 days beforehand to invite him officially to come to the Chanukah Habayis. When he came to the Chanukah Habayis, as we just mentioned, though, that his dveikus and his Rebbe, Meir Shapiro was a chused of Rebbe Srutchotkov in a way which is, it's a different level completely. In all the biographies of Rebbe Srutchotkov, there's a perek, there's a whole chapter always set aside, HaRebbe VaTalmud. Meir Shapiro was the digma of the Chotkov chused. He came to the Rebbe's tish once, and there was a tremendous crowd, and Meir Shapiro said, Meirle, sit. He wanted him to sit down. He was standing at the side of the tish. So Rav Meir Shapiro sat down straight away. There was no chair. There was no chair. It was impossible to bring a chair. It took him a long time to find the chair. But the Rebbe said to sit. So he crouched down as if he was sitting. There was no have him in a nishtza falcon, was the Rebbe at Gazog. He did. It's not such a thing. He subjugated himself on a tremendous way. When Yeshiva Chacham Lublin was built, he used to take Kaseida the Bukharim to go and visit his Rebbe together. He once went with 15 Bukharim. The time the Yeshiva had 150 Bukharim, told the Rebbe, I brought you Masa. And he came and brought 15 Bukharim with him. Rav Shapiro understood more than any one of us what Tasmud in Torah is. And we all know when we go on the way, we can't learn as much as this to go on the way. But Rav Shapiro understood that's what you have to do and that's what you're meant to do. And he went always to his Rebbe. He didn't move without asking his Rebbe a single thing. Well, as we were saying, the Chanukah Habayis, there's a very this conversation which Rav Shapiro had before the Chanukah Habayis with his Rebbe, the Rebbe Yisrael Chotkever. Shvugar Rebbe Yisrael Friedman writes, it brings it down a shave of Yisrael and Chaylik Beis, Hashvius. Brings it down where the Makoyers are from. So if someone wants to look up exactly where the Makoyers are, you can look it up over there. But it's a pachadika conversation of to what extent Rameh Shapiro was ready to go in order to pick up the Kuvud HaTorah. Rameh Shapiro said after Shtik Tzat, after the Chanukah Habayis, he told his close Chassidim, his close Talmidim in Yeshiva, that before the Chanukah Habayis, Rabbi Sul Chotkev, his Rebbe asked him, as he's worried, Chazal tell us that Lichas Rishoinus were broken because of the Pirsim Gudel, that the Eibishter, the first Lichas got broken because the Eibishter gave Matan Torah with Koilos, Ivrukim. It was a tremendous Pirsim, the whole world knew about it. It was given with tremendous publicity, and therefore they broke. Yes, Meir, you're not worried about Ayin Hurah? You're not worried? He made advertisements in the whole of Poland. He turned the whole of Poland upside down about this Chanukah Habayis which was happening. So he answered back to Rabbi Sul Chotkin and he said, Rebbe, did the Eibishter not know that if he gives it with Koilus of Rukim, the outcome of that is going to be that the Lichas are going to get broken? And he still did it. So the Rebbe asked Rameh Shapiro, so what do you say is the answer? He said, he thinks the answer is that when it comes to Matan Torah, it's got to be done with a bang. It's got to be done with a publicity. It's got to be done in a way that everybody's going to know about it. It's got to bring out the Kuvud HaTorah in a way which is, wow, look what's happening. Naibish announced Matan Torah, the whole world shook, the whole world knew about it. It was quiet completely, and all of a sudden we heard, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. The whole world knew about it. It was a wow and a bang. Naibish is here and he gave us the Torah. If the outcome of that is that we have to have a lichas, we have to have a shavir salichas, that's the unfortunate outcome. And afterwards there'll be a kiyan, there'll be a licha shnias, and they'll keep on going. But it has to go with a bang. So the matzav of Kuvud HaTorah is so low. I've been working for 7 years, dreaming and going around the world, and doing everything in my koichas to bring up Kuvud HaTorah. I have to give it my all. I want it to be a publicity that everybody in the world knows about it. If chas v'shulam, it carries with it a price of shvir salichas, I'm ready to go with mesiris nefesh. That's what Rameh Shapiro said over the conversation he had with his Rebbe. And later, 3.5 years later, Rameh Shapiro was nifta. 3.5 years later, Rabbi Shapiro was nifta, gave up his life for Kuvud HaTorah. We think that what was left was only for 3.5 years. The whole yeshiva only lasted for 9 years. This yeshiva, which Rabbi Shapiro went and gathered money. For 6 years he went collecting. The Gudel B'Yisrael. He went around everywhere making money and collecting for it and working of his whole koiches. He had what to do with his time. It lasted for 9 years. The yeshiva opened up in 1930. And 1939 was the end. When Nebuch, we had the Churban Neirev and Klal Yisrael. Sometimes we can think, we don't really hear about Yeshiva Chacham Lublin anymore. Maybe it wasn't worth it. But if we take a step back and realize the whole metzias of our yeshivas nowadays are based and copied on Yeshiva Chacham Lublin. The whole idea that yeshiva has a dining room, yeshiva has a bedroom, that Bukhrim are looked up to. People want to get married to a bucher who's sitting and learning. A person, a bucher who learns and who's an Elch a bucher, people look up to him, oh, that's a prince. That's a Ben Melech. Instead of looking at him as a second-class citizen, that was the koyach of Ramesh Shapiro from his 9 years that the yeshiva was around. People used to fight getting to yeshiva. It was a whole, everybody, every bucher in Poland wanted to get into the yeshiva. It was the yeshiva to get to. That was the talk of the time. And then who's talking about the Gedol Yisrael who came out of the yeshiva? How many Gedolim who were Zoicha to live through the war and after the war will be Zoicha to who lifted and led Klal Yisrael through the years after the Churban until today? I don't know all the names, but one famous name everybody knows about is Rav Oznes. Rav Oznes Zeichet Tzadik Devrucha learned in Yeshiva Chacham Lublin. He learned in Yeshiva Chacham Lublin after Rav Shapiro was Nifta. But he learned in Yeshiva Chacham Lublin, he was asked once, somebody asked him once to describe, if he can describe what the yeshiva looked like. He said, I only saw it twice. Once on the way in, and once on the way out. They used to chap him, if I'm not mistaken, he came from Wien. There was a tree in the back garden over there, and he used to chap him. Rav Oznes used to stand around that tree and walk around and around hundreds of times, chazering what he was learning. It was known as, but to get into yeshiva, there was one ticket. Without that ticket, nothing happened. No money and no protection. Without that, you couldn't start getting accepted. You couldn't even go for a fahir. You had to know 200 black gemurah osavendik. To know 200 black gemurah, that was the beginning. That was the fahir to go into yeshiva. You weren't told to learn a half a umar. 200 black gemurah. So the Meshach Pir said, I'm opening up the yeshiva shalzan gedoyli yisrul. I want to have gedoylim. I need to have rabunim. I need to have manhigim. To do that, you've got to be able to learn. And then once you were zoichet against yeshiva, that's when the hard work started. There was a 6-year program of Kemat, Shas, Bavli, and there was Yishalmi, and there was the Halucha, and it was a phenomenal type of program, a heavy program, which somebody who didn't have those kishroins and capabilities couldn't even dream of keeping. And that's why the Gedolim which we have are people who came out, they knew Shas, they knew what they were talking about, they had the Hirua, they had Kabut, they had that, and they weren't Bukhrim who came from Abunisha houses. It was Bukhrim had a Rutzen, had a Chika. Now for today, Yeshiva Chacham Lublin is still alive. Rav Oznes called his yeshiva in Yishlah in Bnei Brak, Yeshiva Chacham Lublin. That's Rav Oznes' yeshiva is called Yeshiva Chacham Lublin. I heard he said once, these are the Lichas Shnias. Because the Lichas Rishonis that were taka broken, there was none left of the yeshiva. Just the majestic building. But these are the Lichas Shnias. Therefore the Yeshiva Chacham Lublin has a Roshim. It has a phenomenal Roshim. It has a Roshim of our Tzir of all our yeshivas today. And has a Roshim of who our Gedol Yisrael, who have led us till today. And think of how many Talmidim Rav Oznes has. The Hayruah in the world nowadays, a large chunk of Hayruah nowadays, which is Zoychadu, Rabunim, who Paskan Aluchas, it comes from Rav Oznes, which comes all this Chis from Rav Shapira. How many Talmidim did Rav Oznes shtel avek in Beis Hayruah? How many Talmidim of those Talmidim avek gestelt in Beis Hayruah? Chunks and chunks of the Rabunim of Klal Yisrael all come from Rav Shapira's Chis, that he was avek gestelt as Ayeshiva Chacham Lublin. What one dream can do, and sometimes a person has a dream and he thinks, what happened to my dream? It's so difficult to get to, I worked so hard, and it all fizzled out, it all dissolved, it all fizzled out to thin air. And it's not true, because a person works hard on a ruchnias, which is nitzchias, netzach yisru leishak, it can never disappear. Sometimes we're zoicha to see it, sometimes we're not zoicha to see it. Sometimes it'll take 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years. It'll never disappear. That's the koichas of Ramesh Shapiro to the Angelite. In Yeshiva Chacham Lublin. I mentioned a couple of family masses. Rav Shapiro was a close friend of my Elter Zayde, who I'm called after, Rav Shmuel Halpern. They both went to Tcholtkov together, and they were very close to each other. They knew each other very well, and we talked about getting accepted to yeshiva. Man Zayde Zecher Levrucha, Rav Yossel, who most people over here knew very well, was zoicha to be once one of the feheres of the Bukhrim to come into yeshiva. He once stayed by Ramesh Shapira at home in the town Petakov. It was Cholomoyd Sikkus, it was Efe Sikkus. And Cholomoyd Sikkus, Bukhrim came from the area to Ramesh Shapira to get fehered, to be able to see if they can come into yeshiva. And Ramesh Shapira asked my Zayde to feher them. And he gave him a list, who to feher and what. This Bukhri said feher him on Psuchim Dafid Aleph. This Bukhra Menuchas Lamed Aleph. This one, Yid Aleph, Psuchim Yid Aleph, Menuchas Lamed Aleph. Those are the two dafim he gave him to feher the Bukhrim on. Some Bukhrim was Oichet to Psuchim Yid Aleph, some Bukhrim was Menuchas Lamed Aleph. After a few Bukhrim, Mazayda went over to Ramesh Shapira and told him, Rebbe, maybe Psuchim Yid Aleph means Ya. Yid Aleph spells Ya, means you've accepted him. And Menuchas Lamed Aleph means Loi, means you don't want him. He said, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right, 100%. That's what it is. But when a bucha comes to me, I know straight away if I want him in yeshiva or not. I can tell straight away if it's the bucha who I need in yeshiva. But I can't send away a bucha without a feher. I don't know, I think the Zayde was then a bucha or something, probably then. So it was a chusen. Oh, so then maybe that's why he let him feher them. I don't know. But that was the metzius. He said he worried about the covet of every Talmud, of every yeshiva bucha. Even a yeshiva bucha who doesn't reach the level to be able to come into his yeshiva. He cared about him, didn't just send him away. He gave him a feher, he made him feel good, and he looked after him, should go back with a chizik. There was no such thing as, you know, it was disposable, bukhrim come and go. Every bukhrim got his unique attention. Side the brilliant ones who got accepted into yeshiva, and side the ones who weren't so brilliant, who weren't such the kalim who were ready to become gadol Yisrael, and they also got their attention, and they also got their tzimas lev. Another sweet master, you see, it was just b'yedidus. With all the loftiness we're speaking about Ramesh Shapiro, he was also very down to earth, a geshmak echava. But he, Ramesh Shapiro, once ate a Friday night seder by the Zayde by Reb Shmuel Halpern. And when it came to benching, I'm not sure where it comes from, the minig in the Halpern Mishpucha, the Balabus benches. The minig of the Balabus is the Mezimen, the Balabus benches Mezimen. Even if there's guests. So the Zayde filled up the bucha, they filled up the becha with wine. And he told Ramesh Shapiro, sitting next to him, and he told Ramesh Shapiro, as by us, the minig is, as the Balabus benches Friday night. So Ramesh Shapiro gave a chapun the becher. He said the gemura was mich mechabed, a reyach mevurich. He took the becher away and he benched mezimen. So he was like a shmaka, heimische personality. Maybe that's what, that was adrabe, that was also chaylik of the spice, where everybody loved him and everybody heard his drushas and he talked to everybody and he spoke to everybody. That he was able to mechazik people so much. He's getting short the time. Just say another puna kiddelech. As you see, all says Amina Sadiqim, not Dafkin Rabbi Sultzkova. He once, as Zayde brings down Madani Yosef, that he was heard directly from Ramesh Shapira, that he once Cholamoyed, not Rishchodesh El, he was in Marienbad. Marienbad was one of the holiday places, the vacation resorts. And he was once in Marienbad on Rishchodesh El, and there was a minion of Asach Rebbes and Rabunem. It was a very chushiva minion, a lot of people in Gedolim used to come to Marienbad. And by lining, they found a mistake in the Sefer Torah. It says a keves echod, and this method says a keves ho echod. And everybody decided together that it's a mistake. They're going to change the Sefer Torah. How often do we have we change the Sefer Torah? It must mean a mistake. Wow, it's our mistake. It's an open mistake. They poke back the Sefer Torah and they took out a new one. And they get to the new Sefer Torah and they see it says the same thing. It's a keves echod. So it's not a mistake. The method says a keves echod. So it's very sweet for Atigigangen. Ramesh Shapiro was so bothered. How can it be that such a minion of Gedolim should make such a simple mistake? It doesn't make sense. So what did he do? He didn't smile. After davening, he went and took out the first Sefer Torah again. He said, I looked over the first Sefer Torah, I found over 80 mistakes. He had what to do with his time. But he had a minas tzaddikim. He understood it can't be. He couldn't beruig himself. He couldn't calm himself down. Trying to tell me so many gedolim made a mistake, such a narish mistake. He couldn't calm himself down. He had to find out what the truth was. These are things which we can learn from him. His kuvod haTorah, how he worried for yeshivas, how he worried for the kuvod haTorah, how he worried for hasmuda, how he worried that people should feel good, How he worried about how much he was matriach himself to collect money for chushuva maturis. How he cared. How he had a minis in a rebbe. How he had a minis in a tzaddik and a good ladoir. How, however great he was bahachnu gedoyla adma oid when it came to somebody who was his rebbe, somebody who was greater than him. Even though he was the famous person, he still belittled himself completely when it came to his rebbe. How much he was ready to give up for Torah, not just money, he gave up his life for Torah. And after the yeshiva was built, the financial worries didn't go away. As anybody who's done a moysid knows, it's very nice to have a building committee. But once the building committee is gone, the hardest part is raising the funds to keep it going. Because there's no fuss about that anymore. It's very hard to make a fuss about running the budget to pick up the budget which is missing. And Rabbi Shapiro struggled tremendously. And the matter of yeshiva got worse and worse and worse. I don't know the exact details, but there was one life insurance company who insisted and tried very hard to persuade Rabbi Shapiro to take out a life insurance policy. In the end, he took out a life insurance policy and he didn't have any children. He wrote the beneficiary is Yeshiva's Chachmei Lublin. And somebody once asked Rabbi Shapiro, how's he going to manage? Yeshiva looked like it was literally going to close down. There was nothing, they couldn't pay the bills at all. And Rabbi Shapiro showed the Zohar Zohar Kudosh, it says, is the Meshalim Begifo, is the Meshalim Bememoinai. Some people pay with money, and some people pay with their lives. And when he was Nifta, the sum from which came through from the life insurance was what helped Yeshiva survive. He literally kept Yeshiva going with his life. It was Nifta very suddenly, it was a Makkah in Klal Yisrael. We hear the Chofetz Chaim was Nifta, this one was Nifta, but we don't maybe take in the dates so on a realistic way. Chofetz Chaim was Nifta Chuf Dalet Elul Tuf Reish Tzadi Gimel. Chofetz Chaim was Nifta in Chuf Dalet Elul, just before Rosh Hashanah and Tuf Reish Tzadi Gimel. That is 1933. Ramesh Shapiro was Nifta 5 weeks later, 6 weeks later, on Zayin Kislev, Tuf Reish Tzadi Dalet. And he was Nifta suddenly. He was only not well for 3 days. Zayin Cheshvan, I'm sorry. And then then 5 weeks later, Rabbi Yisroel Chotkev's Rebbe was Nifta on Yid Gimel Kislev. There was a Makkah. Those were the Gedolim who led Klal Yisroel. From the Nekesi Gedolah, there were three Gedolim Yisroel, was the Chofetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisroel Chotkev, and the Imre Emes. And Rabbi Shapiro was the one who was the speaker over there. He was the one who kept it all going. Three Gedolim Yisroel were Nifta within a space of 3 months. Less than 3 months. Rabbi Shapiro became not well. It came like a flu. It was like a flu. The doctor said, yeah, it's going to be all right. It was like a flu-like symptoms. He was in yeshiva. And then it kept on getting worse the next day and the next day. And he wanted to send a kvittel to Rabbi Yisroel Chotkev. And Rabbi Shapiro said he doesn't let. He knows the Rebbe is very not well. He doesn't want to give the Rebbe agmas nefesh. And he became further not well. Whether actually the kvittel came or not, I don't know. But in the end, when Rabbi Shapiro was getting towards the end and realize it's getting very serious, as the third day, and the Bukhram had done everything, they sent Kvitlach to all the Rebbes, they'd done everything they could. And then they were standing around his bed, and Rav Shapir wrote, he couldn't speak anymore, and Rav Shapir wrote L'chaim, wants them to bring L'chaim. They quickly brought a bottle of Bromfen, and he eventually on every Bukhram was there L'chaim. And then Rav Shapir said he was a Moirik Bal Menagin, and Rav Shapir gave one of his neginim about bituchen, I don't remember the words, maybe one of the words about bituchen, he asked they should start singing. Singing, the rebels, me, Nifta, start singing and dancing. He asked him to dance around his bed. Meshpira's bed was in the middle, Nebuchadnezzar made a circle and started dancing around his bed. He wrote on a piece of paper, Rak besimcha. And then he made with a tania that they should dance, Lebedika. And as they were dancing and singing and crying, at the middle of that rakida, his neshama went up to Shemayim. It's otherworldly. It doesn't make sense. We imagine such a type of thing. It's mind blowing. And that's what his whole chiyus was. His whole chiyus was Tekuvah HaTorah, Muhammad HaTorah. We can learn from him. And I want to end with one moiridika thought, which my brother Chaim Lusin told me. So Rav Shapiro's life was Tekuvah HaTorah. He threw his whole life into being Mechabed HaTorah. Shiva's Chachmei Lublin didn't last long. The Kuvod HaTorah which came out from it was very limited. But he was Zoicha that his other idea, which then before the war was a very small idea, that ended up becoming the Kuvod HaTorah of our generation. So the Meir Shapira put his whole life and soul into Kuvud HaTorah. He was zoicha that Mitzvah. This winter, hundreds of thousands of Yidden are going to be mechaved the Torah with dancing and with singing. Which was zoicha that Meir Shapira should be zoicha to be there together with us. Mitzchias Ameisim, Abiyas Goyot Tzedek, Meher V'Meini. Amen.